Okay. It may stop because I pressed it.
No, it's still red. All right.
What was the time red?
Oh, mine's red. Mine always be red. I guess it's the old computer. Okay, okay, let's go ahead and we'll get started. We'll pray first and then we'll jump right into that. Father Yah, we bless your name on today and we thank you for all that you do. We just glorify you for your presence and we just thank you for how you reveal to us the truth and deal with us according to that truth. We appreciate the wisdom and understanding that you give us, and we thank you for it. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Alrighty. Now, it stopped. Is it still recording?
I don't know. That's why I'm telling you that. Normally, when I press that, it turns green. And I can tell it's recording, but it's ended. But I can't tell if it is or not. You want me to set up the?
I mean, we
sound
just,
system.
No, we just keep rolling with it. Okay. It's on. Maybe we made the FCC mad. We made them mad.
Oh, my laptop ain't working either. Something going on. Hey.
He got mad when I told him we don't curse. Okay, now, there are some things
email information
and password. I'm just coming to look at it. Y'all just brought with us just a minute. This stuff is acting strange. We'll just start in Matthew chapter 14, and we start at verse 1. I'm trying to fix this where I can be able to read it. They won't let me do it. So I don't know if it's recording or not.
I don't know if it's recording. I can see that.
Okay. Okay. Now, Matthew chapter 14, verse 1, it says, and I can't, okay, it says, at the time Herod the Tetrarch heard the fame of Yehoshua, At that time, Herod and Tetrarch heard of the fame of Yeshua and said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead. And therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. But Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. And we can go back to other books and you see what actually happened as far as that is concerned. But I'm not going to do it for the sake of the time. But John said unto him, fully explained, but John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would, let me just exit out of this thing because it keeps just popping up stuff. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him a prophet. This is John. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before him and pleased Herod. And pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. So when you look at this here, and there are some things that I'm thinking about as I was teaching some stuff earlier today. There is so much, what word can I put? There is so much traditional teachings about the scripture that it's just mind blowing to understand things the way that we do now in comparison to things that out there now. I mean, it just blows my mind. Even blows my mind the stuff that I used to teach in comparison to what I teach now. It's just like night and day. And so when you look at things like this, especially from a perspective of what is commonly understood as the rapture, we understand it as the gathering. You know, the rapture is where Christians say that they're going to be caught up and taken to heaven for 7 years while everybody else goes through hell on earth, so to speak. The Christian mindset is that they don't have to go through tribulation. Okay? But as you look at this passage here, it even shows that the saints during this time was going through tribulation. The church always thinks we escape, you know, and so I hear Solomon say, we're not appointed to wrath, the wrath of God. But what are the difference between the wrath of God or the wrath of Yah and tribulation? Okay? Tribulation is a testing, okay? It's a testing. And so I want to leave this just for a minute. I want to move to Matthew 24. Then we're going to come back to Matthew 14 so that we'll understand the difference between tribulation and wrath so that we'll understand the difference between the two. Now, Matthew 24, verse 29, and we've talked about this before, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time explaining this. I'll just mention it. Whereas you get Christianity that will say, well, we're not appointed to wrath. I agree. We're not appointed to wrath. We're not appointed to wrath. Okay? Y'all's talking to me, so y'all bear with me just a little bit. Okay. Okay. Okay, here's what I want to do. I want to, because he's leading me to define wrath first. Then we come back to Matthew 24 and we'll define tribulation so that we'll understand the difference between the two. Okay? We'll go to Revelation 16, and I'm not going to spend, because I just want to define the word, so I'm not going to spend time just talking about the verse, okay? Revelation 16, verse 19, because we want to define the word wrath to know the difference, okay? Now, Revelation 16, verse 19 says, and the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of nations failed, and great Babylon came into remembrance before Yah, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his. So we know this is his wrath. So when we look at the word wrath, it's defined as obviously desire, okay? But it explains what his desire is. It's violent passion, okay? Punishment. So when Yah's wrath manifests, it is punishment, and it's associated with his anger, his vengeance. When Yah brings down his wrath, he is punishing us punishing mankind for something that we have done that have caused him anger, that have caused him to say, "I'm going to take vengeance on the nation of people or circumstance." You know, we're defining that word. So when we look at the word wrath, it means punishment. It's associated with his anger. It is something that God is looking at and he's saying, "I'm doing this to justify a circumstance." So justifiable, abhorrence, punishment, anger, indignation, vengeance. So when we experience the wrath of Yah, it is because something that we have done that Yah said, I'm gonna give me some justification for that. Well, as the righteous, we know that Yah is not angry with us. So as the righteous, we don't go or experience the wrath of Yah. There is not something that he's looking at us to say, and I say that with a grain of salt, okay? I'm very cautious about how I say that. I just want to stay with the definitions to give you an understanding of the difference between wrath and tribulation. So when we look at wrath, it is Yah saying, there's something I'm getting justification for. What you did made me angry, or what we did made him angry, and I am bringing a punishment on you for doing it. We as a nation of people, that's what I'm saying with a grain of salt, we as a nation of people have experienced and are, to a certain extent, experiencing the wrath of Yah, where Yah is saying, I'm doing something to you as a people as a justifiable means, as a punishment for something that you have done. So what we're experiencing as a people on the street and things like that, it is the wrath of Yah. It is the wrath of Yah. So I want to say it to a certain perspective. That's why I said with a grain of salt to give us a understanding of what wrath is. So when you look at the detailed meaning of wrath from a perspective of this anger, we know that Yah can pull his wrath out on people, even on his people. But at the same time, we want to define the difference. So you have the saints now, or the church, Christianity, who says that we are the righteous, and they'll say, we're not appointed to wrath. I agree if we're righteous.
He's not punishing the righteous, okay? So to stay with the pure definition of the word, yeah, we're not appointed to wrath. But when you look at the word in Matthew 24, and we now want to define tribulation now, because verse 29 says immediately after the tribulation. Tribulation is described as pressure. It's defined as afflicted. The Bible says that the nation of Israel will be afflicted for 100 years. Okay? Anguish, burden, persecution. Notice the difference. In other words, I can be a saint and be under pressure. I can be the righteous and be under pressure. I can be the righteous and be troubled. I can be the righteous and be burdened, persecuted, afflicted. We can go through tribulation as the saint. Y'all hear me? Yes, okay. We can go through tribulation as the saint. We can also go through a certain portion and understand the definition of the word punishment as those who are operating in disobedience. We have to understand the difference. The difference is we can go through punishment because of disobedience. But the righteous go through trouble. The righteous go through tribulation. They don't go through wrath. That's why I mentioned earlier, with a grain of salt. So when you hear now Christians say, it's not appointed unto us to go through wrath, I say, well, I agree if we righteous. But on the other hand, the Bible clearly showed that the church went through tribulation a whole lot of times.
I mean, say we have take up your cross and follow me. I mean, we all got our own cross to bear, but it's like, it ain't like, you know, this is the cookies and cream,
right?
You know, beat the case.
Right.
No, it's tribulation come with the position.
That is a good point. So now that puts us in a position to understand, it gives us the position to understand that we shouldn't be going around here saying, well, if God love us, then why we got to go through this stuff? Well, the Bible says it rains on the just as well as the unjust. And the scripture points out that tribulation will come just because we stand for him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 says this. You put it in your notes. You don't have to turn it down. I'm just going to read it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. Okay, well, let's just wait. We're not in here. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 4. You can go there if you want. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 4. It says now, and I'm just pulling scriptures out to deal with the word tribulations and things like that. It says, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of Yah, for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Persecution, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 4. Tribulations in this passage is the same meaning as Matthew 24. So Paul, even in Paul's day, the church was under persecution and tribulation. The church, let's deal with the word persecution. Persecution, it says persecution. Let's break it down a little bit further. Persecutions, it still says it suffer. Deal with the word suffer. So when you deal with persecution, it more or less means to suffer. So he says now, verse 4, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, so that we ourselves glory, we ourselves, the church, glory in the churches, the saints rather. Glory in you in the churches of Yah for your patience and faith in all your suffering and in all of your trouble, persecution, same meaning pretty much. It kind of intertwines. Burdens, anguish, affliction. So we know without a doubt that the true church, based upon the writings of Paul and also the writings in Matthew, you can see the same thing in Mark and Luke and John. You can see these persecutions happening to the church throughout the scripture, all the way into Revelation. When you read Revelation 2 and 9, the church, Revelation chapter 1, I think 1 and 2, you see the person, and 3, the persecution of the church, the tribulations of the church. So we see without a doubt that the true church, according to the scripture, have always and will experience persecution and tribulation. Now, this is not the same as wrath. They're not being punished by Yah. He points out that things happen. Paul is pointing out that things happen to the church. He said, you will be hated of all men for my name's sake. Persecution, tribulation. So the church has the mindset that because we love Jesus, we don't have to go through anything. Well, the Bible proves opposite. The Bible says if you choose to walk in Him, you're going to experience tribulation and persecution. Read it throughout all the scripture. Yah not punishing us, so now we have to understand to be able to distinguish the two. When trouble comes my way because I am a follower of Yahushua Mashiach, it is tribulation and persecution. So now I'm going to turn around and say, well, why y'all let that happen to me? He already told us that we were going to experience tribulation and persecution. He told the disciples, he was like, man, some of y'all are going to die for this here. Revelation chapter 20 even points out that the faith is going to die for this here. So where did the idea come from the church that they were going to escape tribulation?
From the pits of hell.
From the pits of hell. That's a good explanation. So you now are to understand from the big picture of how your mind works that you know what? Some things are going to happen to us just because we are a follower of the Messiah, the Mashiach. You're going to have issues on your job because you follow Yahushua. You're going to be hated because when you show up, you are the luminousness. Not everybody loves the luminousness because the scripture points out that if people would embrace the luminousness, then that it would cause a change. So he said, hearing, seeing, physical eyes, they see not to see. Hearing, physical ears, they hear not, understanding, lest they be converted, changed. So there are people and circumstances that's going to persecute, and we're going to go through tribulation, all because there's somebody who's looking at us as a luminousness, the luminousness, and said, I hate them. They will hate you for my name's sake. So trouble and tribulation will come, tribulation or trouble and persecution and suffering will come your way just because you are a follower of Christ. Church folks don't think that's supposed to happen. But the Bible teaches that if we are in Him, it is definitely going to happen. Trouble, affliction, persecution, suffering. Now, we're not appointed to wrath. Wrath is for disobedience. It is a punishment for breaking the laws of the Most High Yah. We're not going through wrath, but we're going to experience trouble. We're going to experience persecution. Okay? Now, we just read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. I'm going to read it again. It says, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches of Yah, for your patience, okay, for your patience, your enduring. That's what patience means. So when you're patient, it don't mean you're just sitting around. I'm patient and I'm enduring. I'm not sitting around. I'm very active in my walk with God. So when I hear somebody tell me to be patient, what they're saying to me, according to the scripture, is endure. So when I hear patience, I don't cross my feet. I don't cross my legs and cross my arms and sit back, relax, and take it easy like mom used to say. When I hear someone, or from the perspective of God, saying, be patient, Lon, he's saying, Lon, endure. Stay the course. Stay committed. Stay committed. Stay committed. Do all that I call you to do. Walk in my ways. That's patience. I'm enduring. I ain't just sitting around saying, I'm just going to wait on Jesus. No. Endurance, and he said faith is the faith, patience and faith. We know faith is an action word. Many people can talk about it, but I'll show you mine. I'll show you my faith and never say a word. Just watch my action. Alright? So, it says your patience and faith in all your persecutions, suffering, and tribulations, trouble, affliction, that ye endure. That you suffer. That ye endure. Okay? And so when you look at it now, we understand when we go back and see John, because you're like, John is a man of God. John is identified as a prophet of all prophets by Yahushua. He was like, John was a man. That's what our Savior talked about John. He said John had the spirit of Elijah on him. John the Baptist. But yet, we're reading in Matthew 14, go back there, we're reading the persecution of John to the point to where it cost him his life. And here we are in general. Here we are as the church folks now saying, we're not supposed to experience persecution. We're going to be raptured up out of here. We're not going to have to go through none of that bad stuff. According to the scripture, the church, the true church, always went through persecution. The true church was in hiding. The true church was having endurance. The true church is going to have to endure in the near future. We're enduring now, but we haven't seen nothing yet. The true church is going to have to make a charge. They're going to have to. And that's the thing that's going to happen for that witness of Yahushua and the Word. Alright? Now, as we get back to this verse, I wanted to point it out so we'll understand John. John now, verse 4 says, Matthew 14, verse 4 says, but John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. John is speaking the truth. John is telling the truth. John is standing for right. And because John stood for right, it cost him his life. Verse 5, and when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. So it explains clearly that John is counted a prophet. Inspired by Yah, led by Yah, he's a prophet. The Bible says he has the spirit of Elijah on him. I say to confirm that. But verse 5, verse 6, but when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath. You have to understand that when kings made an oath, they couldn't change it. As a king, if I made an oath and said, okay, whatever you want me to do, it's going to be done. Just ask me for it. It's going to be done. Whatever comes out of her mouth, I had to keep the oath. That's what's going on with him. Whereupon he promised.
Just because of the day.
You know, it goes to show the mindset of a man who's not led by Yah can be set up for himself. And we're going to see some things that happened. Herod was a guy that, you know, I don't want to get ahead of the lesson. Let me just read it. Let the Bible tell us. verse 7, with an oath to give her whatsoever she asked. And she being before instructed, already had information. You get up there in front of that man and you dance like you ain't never danced before. And I know him. He gonna get the greatest for you. Know he gonna offer you everything or anything. When he offered it to you, we got a plan. Cause somebody is in the way. And she being, verse 8, and she being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. Cut his head off. I want his head. And the king was sorry, see? He didn't want to do it. He was sorry. He was distressed. He was grieved because of that. Because that wasn't his plan. He got all caught up into the moment. Said, girl, I'll give you anything with your fine dancing good self. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Now he's distressed because he made a decision that he know he can't change. Nevertheless, he was sorry. He was grieved. But nevertheless, for the oath's sake. Can you imagine a king changing his oath, how he would lose his reputation?
Right.
So now his reputation's online. If I don't keep my oath, then everybody's going to be saying, chill, man.
His word don't mean nothing nowhere else.
Don't mean nothing. Oh, Herod said, if we're going to do that, man, nobody going to pay no attention to Herod. Man, Herod don't keep his word. So he had to do it. Just for the oath's sake. He was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake. And them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it be given her. You going to tell me that ain't tribulation and persecution? Something that Christians are saying, we not going to go through no persecution. God's going to get us up out of here. Jesus don't save us. We ain't got to worry about a thing. Just doesn't add up. Verse 10, and he sent and beheaded John. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Yehoshua. When Yehoshua heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, he followed him. They followed him on foot out of the city, okay? Now, I want to stop right there, and I want to look at another I want to look at another example of persecution or trouble. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26, verse 36. Okay. We there? It says, then cometh Yehoshua with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and began to be sorrowful. I'm saying this now. Began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Y'all saying it? He's distressed. Christ now. And distressed. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Verse 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. you know, this was so much pressure on Christ that he was to the point that he was struggling with the fact that he had to die. It wasn't easy. I mean, think about it. Here you are, knowing what you have to do, and even knowing that you have what you have to do, and you have to be obedient, it still didn't take away from the fact that he was distressed from it. He was so distressed about it. He went to the Father and said, "If it be possible, could we do this another way?" Can we do this another way? I'm struggling with this right now, Father. He can be touched with the feelings of our weaknesses, infirmities of weakness. Our Savior now can relate. He is all Yah, but yet all man, having certain areas of sensitivity and weaknesses. Jesus wept. Yehoshua wept. Why? Because his friend had died, you know, Lazarus, but he ended up raising Lazarus from the dead. But because his friends were weeping about it, he wept with it. He was touched with the feelings of our infirmity. So here you have him being the Son of Yah, understanding that he was sent to die for our sins. He was sent to do this, yet he was saying, if it be possible, could we change some stuff? Even the Savior didn't want to go through tribulation, but had to. A lot of scripture points out, we may look at it, that if we suffer with him, we're not looking at it from a perspective of just saying we got to die on the cross. But it lets us know that if there are certain things we're willing to have to deal with because of our relationship with him, then we're qualified to reign with him, to rule with him in his kingdom. So here you got church folks, Christian folks, who think they don't have to suffer or go through any tribulations, but then decree that they're going to rule and reign with him. That don't make sense. Went a little further, he prayed. He said, okay, can you let this pass, verse 39? But then he always stuck with the plan. Nevertheless, I'm letting you know how I'm going through this anguish right now, but I'm letting you know, nevertheless, it's not what I want, but what you want. I personally don't want to do this. I'm going to be transparent with you. There's a lot of stuff that Yah has required me to do that I didn't want to do. Some things he required me to do that I want to do. But there have been some experiences that I've had where I said, Yah, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it. Yah, please don't make me do it. Nevertheless, not what I want, what you want. Not my will, but thy will be done. Okay? Verse 40, and he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me for 1 hour? Could you not keep awake with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Okay, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit, indeed, the mind, mental disposition, is willing. But the flesh now, you know, the flesh, the carnal mind. So when you look at the spirit, don't turn around and say, my physical body is weak. No, Christ is saying to them, your mental disposition may have a will to follow, but also that mental disposition can be carnal and not follow. The will to follow is one thing. All of us can have a will to follow, but do we have but are we able to follow? Are we being led? I run across a lot of people saying, yeah, I have a will to do right, but the spirit is with it. But the mind is weak. So let me put it like the scripture is telling us here. The mind may be willing to do some things, but our mind can be weak. that mind, that weak flesh, is the mind that is. It's the carnal mind. It's the human being that makes us say, I don't want to follow Yah. That's why Paul said, the very things that I know to do, I find myself doing the opposite. Paul said, I know what's right, but I find myself doing all the wrong stuff. He's an old wretched man I am. Who can save me from this old messed up me? That's me paraphrasing in my own words. Then he points out Christ in me, leading me. That's how I can be delivered from my weakness, my carnal flesh, my weak flesh. So verse 41, he says, watch and pray. Watch, be alert. Be awake, be vigilant, and pray. Watch and pray. Supplicate, worship, okay? That ye enter not into temptation. So it lets us know that when we fall into temptation, it's because we're not vigilant. Always be aware that the enemy is looking for a corner mind. All of us can leave here having the will to do something right, but the enemy's saying, you know what, let me bring some persecution and some tribulation, and if I do it enough, I get that old weak mind to line over with what I want. Watch and pray. Be vigilant. Be able to distinguish the works of the enemy and the works of Christ. Watch and pray. Be alert. Be vigilant. Watch and pray. Supplicate. Stay worshiped up. Keep him always in the center of our mental disposition. Because if we don't keep him in the center, the flesh will manifest in us as who we are without God's mind influencing our mind. And I know I'm crazy when he don't influence my mind. I'm willing. Oh, yeah, I love him every day, but for the minute, I don't allow him to slide in on my mind. I'm psycho. I'm just straight up psycho. I got plenty of sense when he leaves me. I got plenty of wisdom when he leaves me, boy. And I'm willing to get plenty more wisdom. But boy, when I let that flesh rise up and become the strength of me, I'm a hot mess. Now, when people get around me, when I'm operating the flesh, you be like, that is not my fault. I cannot follow him. That's the boy that I'm supposed to be following back then. All of them can be that way. So that's what I say is explaining to Peter. He said, okay, Peter, what? You could not watch? You could not stay awake? You could not be alert? You could not be aware with me for 1 hour? It wasn't just about the physical portion of it. It was about the vigilance. You couldn't endure, man. You're so carnal to the point where you get so carnal with it, you got a physical fall asleep because you're mentally asleep. Yes,
I was
going
to say it's probably a frustration on his part. Here is my, I'm finna die for this thing. You can't even stay woke.
You rather asleep. You are asleep mentally, and it has affected you physically. Whatever, as a man thinketh in his heart, mental disposition, so is he. They were asleep mentally, and it manifested in the physical. They lay there and went to sleep on it. He was like, what, man, y'all can't stay awake awakened for an hour mentally? He tells him, he says, then you got to watch and pray, verse 41. You got to watch. You got to stay diligent, vigilant. We have to be vigilant. We have to watch, be vigilant. Always be aware that we have a carnal mind that the enemy can slide in on. We don't always succeed all the time. I drop the ball myself sometimes, too. But it is our mission. He says we've been given a command by our Savior. Now we have to line up with that command. All of us from this point on, we have to make our best effort to line up with that command. Watch, stay vigilant, be aware of the workings of the enemy. Watch, vigilant, be watchful, be alert, be aware when the enemy is working. Identify him. Watch and pray. Worship. worship. Keep your mind stayed on him. Watch and pray. Why? That you enter not into temptation. You enter not into temptation. Okay? Adversity. Watch that you don't be tried. Why? The spirit indeed is willing. Yeah, we're willing. I guess I can ask anybody here. Anybody in here in conference call, do you have a willing heart to follow Yah? I guarantee all of us to say yeah. So Yah or Christ admitted, he said everybody's willing. But you gotta understand, we all have a mind that wanna do the opposite of what we know we're supposed to be doing. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing. The word willing is ready. I can ask anybody who really loves the Lord. Everybody will, I'm ready. Yeah, I love him. I'm ready. Spirit is ready. But the flesh is the minded, the human being, the carnal mindedness. That part is weak. That's why it talks about the enmity between us and Yah. The carnal mind is enmity. It is the enemy. You know there's a side of each one of us that is the enemy to the Most High? Each one of us has a mindset that establishes us as an enemy to the kingdom. We have to be alert, be vigilant, to stay focused on Yah's mindset in order to keep that enemy from rising up. Because it's in all of us. And as long as we're here on earth, as long as we have not come to the fullness of who we are in him, we're always going to be wrestling with that enemy. Ask your questions. You can raise your hand here in conference call. You can raise your hand up in your own presence. It don't matter. How many of you have ever been just sitting around minding your own business, carnal, in a carnal perspective? That's what I mean by minding your own. When you mind your own business, that's carnal. What you doing? Mind my own business? Oh, yeah, I ain't dealing with that. You minding your own business. Notice, every time we mind our own business, we hear crazy stuff, don't we? Slap them. You be like, I ain't going to slap this person. Where did that even come from? From a mind your own business, a mind that has its own business. Because everything about our mind that has its own business want to do something crazy. So every time we are now not focused on the things of the Most High Yah, what we are doing is minding to our own business. Yah said, that's going on. I can't deal with that. I need you to be spiritual minded. A mind that's influenced by Yah. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, ready, okay? But the flesh is weak, okay? The flesh is weak. And so, it's vitally, it's 808, I'm going to stop. This is enough. It's vitally important for us to make sure that we understand that as the saints of the Most High, we will experience some troublesome times. It doesn't mean that we're doing something wrong. Persecution happens. Sometimes a persecution or a tribulation can cause death. Now, am I getting somebody ready for death? No. I'm just trying to get you to understand that there may be some circumstances that happen for whatever reason or another that brought persecution or trouble, all because you stood for what was right. Understand, it wasn't Yah mad at you and saying he's going to punish you. Don't start to judge yourself and say, what did I do wrong? You have to understand that who you are, it brought attention to you. And so maybe there are some bad experiences that you had that you can now look back on in a right perspective and say, you know what, I didn't do anything to go through what I went through. Some of the things that I've gone through, I gone through it maybe because it was the persecution of trying to keep me from being who I am now. Baby, that circumstance was designed to get me off course and to keep me off course. That wasn't the wrath of God. I didn't deserve that. I didn't do anything to deserve that punishment. See what I'm saying? So the things that happened to us that we can look back on it and say, no, I didn't physically go out and do something to deserve the punishment, that classification as what would be a punishment. So it's not a punishment. It's tribulation and persecution. It's an affliction. So instead of saying, y'all punished me for something and I need to realize what I did wrong, it may be time for us to understand that, you know what, I was afflicted because of who I am or who I was going to be. So the enemy was trying to take me out. So that affliction or trouble came because there was something on me that showed I was greater than what the enemy wanted me to be. So he sent trouble. He sent persecution. He sent tribulation in order to derail my death. So now we're going to have to sit around and question God because we realize the difference now. God's like, I didn't punish you for nothing because you didn't do nothing to deserve that. But you understand the tribulation is going to come your way. So now we got to answer to the why. Why did that happen to me, y'all? Cause tribulation, persecution. Y'all just punished me for something that I should not have done it that way. So y'all punished me for doing it that way. No. Y'all is a jest, y'all. He punished for right reasons. He punished in a way that makes sense. So we as the saints now understand that trouble gonna come our way. Persecution gonna come our way. It may be circumstance where I lost my nephew, Sister Tonya's son. I lost my nephew. That was a persecution. I'm the righteous. I didn't do nothing wrong to deserve that punishment or wrath. I didn't deserve the wrath of God. That's a persecution. That was something designed to get me off track. Because when it happened, that old nature in me rose up and I wanted to do some killing. Persecution. I could not look at any circumstance and say, y'all punished me and caused me to lose my nephew because I did something wrong. That was persecution. That was a tribulation. That was an affliction. So before my nephew died, he was going around telling people, y'all, we going home. We the children of Israel. We need to get ready to go back to our homeland. Persecution. Okay. And so I just want to, in a nutshell, give you a different perspective on how to look at things from the truth. Understand the difference between punishment and persecution, and to know, like the scripture said, it rains on the just as well as the unjust. Bad things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. Good things happen to good people. Good things happen to bad people. We now have an understanding of how to look at things from a different perspective. When I was up at the building, last thing, you can make a comment when I finish. When I was up at the building, that fire consumed me. First thing I did was ask y'all this question. Okay, y'all. Why did this happen? I'm the righteous. Why did this fire consume me? Son, I allowed that affliction to come because you got a Bible study to teach later on this day. It's going to fit right in with the lesson. So I took that tribulation, persecution, to turn around and brought to a revelation concerning the lesson that I dealt with on that night. If there had been the wrath of Yah, Yah would have said, I punish you for something that you did. And trust me, it would not just been the little bit, you know, the little bit stuff that, you know, stinging or whatever you want to call it, just a little bit stuff there. Now that little stinging and all that was just a little persecution. If there had been the wrath, I probably would have been still trying to recover from the wrath of Yah. The wrath of Yah, I don't get out just smelling like smoke and beard a little bit charcoal and hair at the top and eyebrows a little bit and eyelash a little bit gone. I don't get out of wrath like that, Yah. Long boy, let me show you what wrath is. I'm going to punish you for something you did, and I don't have to. Okay? That's how we come to understanding of the difference. That's what he led me to teach you on tonight. Now, here's the wonderful thing about the majority of the lessons that we do. Sometimes I just come in here, and I don't have a clue what he want to talk about. He do those things sometimes to be a witness to you that he is leading us he's leading us as a ministry as far as his kingdom is concerned. I asked you when we finished with Matthew chapter 13. I didn't have no idea where we were going. He said go to 14. I still had no idea what I was going to talk about. But when the Spirit is willing, Yah said, let me slow down in on the mind and give the lesson for the day. Had no clue what I was talking about. That's what being led is about. That's the difference from having a Spirit that's willing that he actually flies into you or being carnal minded. If I had come here carnal minded, we would not have had a lesson on the day. I was like, I ain't dealing with that fool. Okay. And so, as I get ready to close, it took us a minute to get started with the lesson, right? That was a tribulation. And the tribulation is nothing but a test. Nothing but a test. And we passed the test because, you know, y'all could have said, man, look here, it's like 7:20. I'm finna go. I ain't finna sit in here. But all of you stuck right in there and said, I'm gonna hang right in here and listen to the lesson. I know we're a little bit off time and stuff like that. We 18 minutes past our schedule, but, you know, we stopped about the same time we started, still ended up being an hour, but that's the tribulation, that's the test. I'm just using it from that perspective, trying to give you an understanding of why Yah does things the way he do sometimes. Yes?
I just wanted to use another scripture in that vein.
Okay.
John chapter 15, verse 2.
Okay.
It says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away.
Uh-huh.
And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth more fruit.
Right.
And so,
John 15 and 2, y'all.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in a nutshell, it's like saying as a part of his process, it's going to happen, stuff going to happen to you,
mm-hmm.
but for a goal, right? You know, you burn fruit, but if I deal with you in this area, if I deal with you in that area, you'll burn more fruit.
Right.
And so sometimes stuff come at us for that purpose. It ain't like it's for no purpose. It's for purpose. And we may have certain understandings or a lack of understanding, and stuff may come our way so that the lack of understanding that we have or the wrong understanding that we have can be purged so that we can go forth and bear even more fruit. Even more fruit.
Right. So in a nutshell, what I just heard Elder say is this. Whenever agitation, persecution, whenever trouble, tribulation come my way, based upon John 15, verse 5, y'all said, I bring those about as a testing tool in some cases to address some things that I need to address to get you to come up to a certain standard of thinking. So I keep exposing these persecutions and tribulations because there are certain things that I may want you to overcome. So there are variations of trouble and tribulation. Again, John 15, verse 2 says, every branch, so it lets us know all of us are not excused. Why, I don't have to go through nothing because I'm saved. No, it's every branch. Every branch in me that bears fruit, bears not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges. The word purge means to prune, to cleanse. You can't be in Yah. We can't be in Yah without him cleaning up our minds. He purges it that it may bring forth more fruit of what he is. Okay. Last thing, I said that it gave me another scripture. I'm going to read this last one, and then we will close if there's no one else that has anything to say. It's found in James chapter 1. James 1 verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. Okay? Has the same perspective in other scriptures we've dealt with. Knowing that the trying, that's the trustworthiness of your faith working patience, okay? Working patience or performed patience. When you look at patience, it again means enduring. But let endurance have a perfect work that you may be perfect, mature, and entire. Entire is complete. Wanting nothing. And wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, there we go. So it lets us know what endurance and what enduring tribulation causes to manifest. Like what I was talking about, the fruit, wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, it is associated with the same passages of verse 2, 3, and 4. Verse 5 says, if any of us lack wisdom, let him ask of Yah that giveth liberally. He don't hold back. Okay? And upbraid it not. He don't reproach. He don't taunt us with wisdom. He gives it to us. Okay? And it shall be given him. All those things manifest from us enduring the tribulation, from us keeping our minds, stayed on him, allowing him to lead us, and different things like that. So that's just another fact to add with the lesson, including John 15, verse 2, to show you how things happen. When these things happen, we ought to look at it from a different perspective because he tells us, he says, count it all joy. Okay? Count it all joy, that means be cheerful. Be calm when things happen. Okay? Be calm. Keep our wits. That wit, I'm talking about, is wisdom. When tribulation and trouble come, stay alert, endure, watch, and pray. Watch and pray. Okay? That's what count it all joy means. It's the same vein of watch and pray. Be calm, delight. See, even our Savior, he would have failed if he had not been calm. joy in what he had to do, delight in what he had to do.
Okay? Y'all got it?
Okay, if there are no other questions or comments, I'm going to go ahead and stop here. We all good? Everybody got it? Okay. Father, y'all, we bless your name. We thank you for another blessing that brought us to maturity, to growth. We thank you, y'all, that we have the wisdom to know the difference between wrath and tribulation. We know that we all may go through tribulation, but we don't experience the punishment of the Most High as the righteous, but we only experience the punishment when we disobey and operate in disobedience to his word, to what he has decreed that we should do. Father, we bless you for that, and we declare that we're going to commit to your way in every facet. And we thank you in the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Amen.